This is News24's Inside Pass, episode 30. My name is Herman Mostert. A massive, massive rugby weekend lying in wait. Tonight, obviously, a blockbuster semi-final between New Zealand and Argentina. And then the big one from a South African perspective, the Springboks tackling England tomorrow night. Both those games are at the Stade de France in Paris. It's a dream semi-final lineup if you're a Southern Hemisphere rugby fan, and I guess you can call it somewhat of an upset. There were talks beforehand that it could be an all Northern Hemisphere semi-final lineup. That didn't pan out, and yeah, looks like order has been restored if you're a rugby traditionalist in that sense. We've got Kaniso Chwaku, who is our man on the ground in Paris, joining me this morning. Kaniso, how are you?
Herman, good morning. I hope all is well. It is a rather chilly here, here in Paris, but it's necessarily cold. Seems like one of those Cape Town winter days.
Yeah, like it seems like the weather has changed in Cape Town. It was 30 odd degrees yesterday, so definitely the seasons are changing. Listen, Kaniso, I guess we've got what we wanted, you know, from a Southern Hemisphere perspective. Three teams in the semi-finals. Now everyone, including the bookies, are predicting a pretty straightforward final between, which would be, I guess, a dream Rugby World Cup final between South Africa and New Zealand. Obviously, I think probably for a rugby enthusiast, it's a long overdue final. You know, obviously 28 years since the Springboks and the All Blacks, the old rivals, have played in a World Cup final. We're going to go through both semi-finals. I think for the sake of what is happening today, let's firstly dig into tonight's match between the All Blacks and Argentina. The bookies aren't giving Argentina even a sniff, it seems like. It looks like, if I'm just looking at a local betting agency here in South Africa, that you can make 11 times your money if you bet on Argentina tonight, and you can hardly make anything if you bet on the All Blacks. Do you think the Pumas are that much outsiders? You know, they have beaten the All Blacks twice in the last couple of years. What's your views on that?
Look, I think the thing with Argentina that in this tournament, they haven't played a full game where where they've been overly dominant. I mean, you look at the wins against Japan where they stepped up in the second half. You look at the Samoa game where they had a very powerful first half but weren't quite convincing in the second half. So they haven't put together a 80-minute performance. I mean, even in the Wales game, they only really started to get the act together towards the end of the first half, then completely dominated the second. So if Argentina are able to put together an 80-minute performance, one that you think that the eminent, the capable of, I mean, we remember watching them at Ellis Park against South Africa, where they made life unnecessarily difficult for the Springboks. If they're able to be that disruptive, that scrappy, and just prevent the All Blacks from playing, there is a very good chance. Because I think if there's one thing that teams tend to do well against All Blacks is if you prevent them from playing the way that they want to play, and you play the way you want to play, it then becomes difficult for the All Blacks, because the All Blacks just tend to just want to play their way and impose themselves on the game. And the moment another team imposes themselves on the game and play the game the way they want to play, it then becomes a bit of a scrap, and the last thing the All Blacks like to engage in is scrap.
Yeah, that's true. Looking back at the last couple of years, if we go back to November 2020, that was the first time the Pumas had ever beaten the All Blacks. They won 25-15 in Sydney. And then last year, there was that shock result in Christchurch, you know, a venue that is very, very, we all know is very tough for visiting teams to go and play, and they won 25-18. They then lost the next weekend, they lost 53-3 in Hamilton. Obviously, a massive backlash there from the All Blacks. But, looking back at those two wins that they've had, do you think that's going to have any sort of influence on tonight's match? And do you think the Pumas are going to look at that? And what do you think they did right in that game that they can take forward into tonight's match to give them a little bit of hope? Because, like you've said, they haven't really been convincing at this tournament. I mean, they've had as is the case with England, they've had a relatively easy draw. I mean, Wales is not the hardest quarterfinal by any stretch of the imagination, especially with it's also a Welsh team that's rebuilding a little bit. So what do you think? Do you think the Pumas are going to look back, or are they just focusing on what they need to do and what they have done and just trying to improve on that?
The first things first, those two wins are based on sound defense. If Argentina just show up their defense, then they'll have a fighting chance, because if there's one thing that we never say about Argentina is the ability of broken play. They are dangerous. That's how they beat Wales. I mean, they caught Wales on broken play. They created that rolling maul of a broken play penalty. So, which is effectively what the All Blacks thrive on. But the All Blacks are that more accurate in terms of using their opportunities from broken play. I think what becomes important for Argentina is that if they are able to just keep their try line dry and prevent New Zealand from actually playing the way that they want to play and just prevent themselves from conceding unnecessary points and keep the discipline flowing, I think that's the first point of beginning that the All Blacks need to, that Pumas need to get from that game. And I mean, look, I mean, whatever's gone by in the past is not necessarily applicable, because if that was what a barometer that was used for the quarterfinals, I mean, then one would have thought that Ireland were going to blaze past the All Blacks. But then when you live in the present, when you live in the reality, it presented a very different picture for the Welsh in particular, for the Irish in particular. So there's going to be a very differently painted picture, and that Argentina will most probably look at this game as their final. Mm. And if that is their approach, where they treat this game like their final, one hopes that they weren't that emotionally exuberant after that round and second half performance. And well, the last thing you want is for you to, I think that's probably the slight concern I may have with the boxing, that outpouring of emotion. And it's something that I will actually ask them on at the press conference later today about the outpouring of emotion and whether they're able to keep the emotions in check for this game. Because I mean, they came through a very tight game with the box, but so did Argentina. And Latin teams from the Latin part of the world tend to be overly emotional, and then when they win a particular game, they're simply unable to raise themselves for the next coming fixture. I mean, France, for example, remains the ultimate example of that, where in 99, they absolutely played a blind of a semi-final against the All Blacks, but just simply couldn't find the same level of mental and physical intensity for the final against Australia. You could say the same when they beat New Zealand in 2007.
Yeah, they lost to England.
They just couldn't find it. Yes, and then it wasn't even a strong England side that they lost to, but they just couldn't find the same level of emotional intensity to get past that particular game. So I think if Argentina is able to keep themselves, keep their mental powder keg dry, it's going to be very interesting to see how All Blacks will respond to that.
Yeah, look, I mean, another thing, you talk about emotion, and I think one thing obviously that is always an issue with Argentina is the guys probably being too psyched up, and that often leads to unnecessary penalties, and it can often lead to a rash yellow card or maybe even a red card here and there. You know, do you think how important that could be? You know, do you think it's, you know, from a neutral perspective, you don't want to see players receiving a red card in this match because it'll spoil the contest? Do you think You think the Pumas have done better at that? Their discipline hasn't been that bad in this tournament for me. I think it's more maybe defensive lapses that they've had. If you look at the match they played against Japan, they leaked a few tries. They can't be like that tonight. So do you think that this discipline issue could play a part tonight?
No, it will, because remember, if they lose a player to a yellow card, that's a penalty conceded. That most probably, if you have 14 players against Four Blacks, losing a player to a card, conceding the penalty, will almost most probably lead to points, whether it's a long-range penalty by Tony Barrett, whether they go for the corners or from an intricate backline move, or they use a rolling maul. So, discipline will be very important. I mean, Thomas Lavanini, he is so far done very well to keep his discipline on the leash. But he's the one who tends to get emotionally lost in big games. I mean, we've seen in big rugby championship games where he just tends to lose his head. That's Thomas Lavanini. So I think it becomes very important for a player of his ability and a player of his experience just to keep his head dry, to keep his head in the right place, especially for a game of this magnitude. I mean, if you look at the turnaround Argentina have had in the past 4 years, after that disappointing 2019 Rugby World Cup outing where they didn't get past the full stages, they have played Wallowed Field not above their ability, but somewhere near to their potential. But they have a big, one of those sides where they have a big game in them. And the fear then is that, are they going to save the big game for the third place playoff? Or are they going to save the big game for the semifinal and then get the final warrior pass itself should they get there? So I think Argentina certainly have the goods from numbers 4, 5 down. I think the biggest weakness, playing perspective, is the scrum. And that's, I think, the one part that the All Blacks will probably want to
avoid
and exploit. But also, on the other hand, yes, Argentina also found, like France did, they've also found ways to avoid scrums like they did in the Wales game. Yeah. Where once they found that they tired Wales out, that's when they started attacking the scrum. So I think, again, if they're able to play the textbook cards very smart, then I think that's one thing Michael Chaker does so well. And I think what Michael Chaker's done as a coach is that he's just moved away from that boisterous Australian New South Wales coach that we experienced in the rugby championships last year, but I mean, to become this calm, very Spanish-speaking, speak Spanish very fluently, Spanish-speaking coach, he does not quite exude the emotions and the fire that a lot of Latin American teams would from a footballing. I mean, we saw how passionate Uruguay were in their match, despite the fact that they didn't win a game. But they did beat Namibia, but you feel that Argentina do know how to keep their heads, but I mean, can they keep their head in a call in the semifinal? Can Michael Chaker keep, especially the knowing how much he wants to beat New Zealand? Can he help keep the team's head dry in what will be a very, very tough game later this evening?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it could almost, in a way, work. Like you've said, if this is their final and they play one really impressive match the next week and they could fall flat, then that would obviously be to the advantage of either South Africa or England. So let's move now to Saturday's game, which obviously from our perspective is the big one. If that was to happen, if there was a massive upset tonight, then there's a golden chance, I think, for both those teams to then, if they play the Pumas, then they would be hot favourites to win. But let's not go there. You know, I think New Zealand are pretty much big favourites to win tonight. It's going to take a superhuman effort from the Pumas to cause an upset there, but by the look of things, it seems like all the experts believe that if England were to win tomorrow, it would be almost not as big, but almost as big an upset for Argentina to beat New Zealand. The bookies have the box as firm favourites. You can make about close to 6 rand. Your money if you bet on England tomorrow. Do you see it that way, or are you a bit worried about the fact that everyone, almost everyone except Clive Woodward, are making the Springboks the favourites?
It's very tactical from them, but when you look at the numbers, one needs to understand that England aren't the underdogs that people think they are, because one needs to remember, of the 4 quarterfinals, England are the only beaten team. And regardless of the path you take to the semifinals, if you get to the semifinals without dropping a game, especially with the competitive nature of what the World Cup has become, it's in the past 2 editions, it doesn't matter whether you get to a semifinal or not. without dropping it. The fact that you're there makes you a very good side. Mm. And I think they're trying to underplay how really decent England are. And one needs to understand that England are probably a very impeccable World Cup semi-final record, in that they've been to 4 semi-finals and they've won 3. And they've fought some really good teams along the way there. So, and I mean, they will definitely have that in the confidence. And they're a team that's competed toe-to-toe with South Africa. So one would look at maybe how well South Africa played and judge them on favourites, but also England are no match, number one. But also on the other hand, you also need to realise that England have actually, yes, they've again got through what is deemed to be a weaker side of the World Cup pool. Mm. But it's a World Cup nonetheless. They've got to the stage. They've earned the right to get there. And that makes them favourites in their own right. Yes, they may have played, they played Argentina, they played Samoa, they played Japan. The fact of the matter remains that they beat test teams to get to this particular stage of the World Cup, and they had to fight to get there. Yeah. And they've been able to build momentum to get there. So they have momentum, and it's that momentum that you as a team need to worry about. So there's, the bookies may say South Africa are favourites based on results, but England at no point should be discounted. They've played very well to get to where they are. You don't just walk into semifinals. You have to work your way into semifinals. I mean, that's probably the narrative that they tried to carry in yesterday's press conference, where they tried to downplay and underplay themselves. I think in a way that they would want people to believe, or maybe they would want the Springboks to try and believe that they're favourite. But I think knowing this particular side, I think that's not the case. Where they know that it's a big game, it's going to be a tough task, and wins, World Cup playoff wins, are never taken for granted. So, I mean, it's very smart from the bookies. I mean, look, they need to make money. It's also very smart from, I'd say, the Northern Hemisphere press, because at the end of the day, they would desperately love representation in the World Cup, that for all intents and purposes, they thought that this was their God-given gift to them, for the inverted commas effort that they've put in over the past 4 years. But as New Zealand and South Africa have shown, that you may put in all the work in the past 4 years, it doesn't matter much if you don't rock up at a World Cup. And it's unfortunately, the Rugby World Cup is a tournament where pedigree tends to matter. That's your Australia, who didn't quite actually get to the races. But I mean, Argentina have proper World Cup pedigree. They may not have won the World Cup, but I mean, they've been to more semifinals than Ireland have. And that should tell you about their growing World Cup pedigree as a team, and they should never be discounted. So, it's a very smart and neatly woven narrative from here in the Northern Hemisphere about England being underdog. But they know very well that they've worked very hard and they've played very well to get here, and there's nothing underdog about them leading into this particular game tomorrow.
Yeah, look, interesting. I think looking at the World Cup history between these two teams, they've played 5 times. South Africa lead 4-1 head to head, and the only win for England was in 2003. Obviously, that year when they won the World Cup when Clive Woodward was the coach. That I think we'll all agree that was a pretty impressive England side, much better probably than the one they have now. But an interesting stat about that is 3 of South Africa's World Cup wins over England have come at the Stade de France, which is the venue for tomorrow night's match. Obviously in 1999 when Jannie de Beer kicked those 5 drop goals, and then in 2007 there were 2 matches there, the pool match that the Boks won 36-0, and obviously the final 15-6. There seems to be something about that ground, the Stade de France, that the Springboks actually like. Is that a good omen for them? What do you think?
I think also, I mean, one needs to understand that South Africa are from a country where they have stadiums like Ellis Park, 63,000-seater, FNB, 94,000-seater, Loftus, 53,000. So I think the big atmosphere is probably the one thing that doesn't intimidate the Boks as much as it's Bafana, the Proteas. They actually seem to revel in that big stage. And also rugby is quite a different sport in that you most probably the one sport where you are better able at controlling your outcomes better than, let's say, football and cricket. But, I mean, the Boks have shown over the years, I mean, yes, they were late World Cup entries, but they've shown an ability to stay in World Cup games. I mean, you look at 1995, how they stayed in the game against one of the very good French side, especially in that semi-final in Durban. I mean, England, they were a better team on paper at the start of France in 1999, but South Africa just played the better World Cup rugby at the end of the day. 2003 was 2003 with its different challenges. I mean, another team would have lost to Fiji in Marseille in 2007, but the Bucks found an extra gear that helps teams generally get past those tricky quarterfinals. I mean, Wales would Ireland would definitely try to ask South Africa what is the magic theorem of getting past quarterfinals, because they haven't done it on 8 occasions on the bounce. I mean, 2011 was one of those anomalies where one Bryce Lawrence decided to Bryce Lawrence. And I mean, that will go down in history as one of the most abysmal officiating performances in the World Cup knockout game. Well, that depends if you're French or not. I mean, well, that depends if you're French or not. Because, I mean, Ben O'Keefe is probably, they will view Ben O'Keefe here in the same way we view Bryce Lawrence. So South Africa have genuinely found a way to win semifinals, and South Africa have generally lost semifinals to teams that have been better over the years. I mean, if you look at Australia in 1999, Australia had an ascending team that actually became better after winning that World Cup in 1999. And then you look at the New Zealand team that they lost to in 2015. Yeah. That was probably the best New Zealand, one of the best rugby teams ever to walk this earth. So again, the messaging though from the press conference has been very clear. There's no underestimating this England team, regardless of where they play, whether they play in Perth, whether they play at Ellis Park, whether they're playing in the Stade de France. The fact remains, it's an occasion that they are taking seriously, and one that they know that they need to make sure that they get past, and get past by in terms of playing well.
Yeah, I think you summed it up quite well. They're playing in the big stadium. I think BMT is something that springs to mind with Springboks in their history, especially at World Cups. You know, when they get far, it's going to take something really special to knock them off. You know, in 2015, it was a very, very strong New Zealand team, but they only won by two. I think it was 2018 was the final score there. So it's going to take something special, I think, to now knock the Springbok team out. I always said, I told Lloyd yesterday, it was, if we get, I said before the tournament, if we get past our quarterfinal, which would have been either France or New Zealand, then we're going to go to the final. But do you think, looking ahead to the contest and the head or the battle that will unfold tomorrow night, obviously I think we can expect a little bit of a slower type of attritional type of game, not as high octane as the French played yesterday. Last Sunday. Do you think that sort of gives England a little bit more of a chance that they, you know, that the game is probably going to be a bit slower? That could almost level things up. I think there's talk that it could be quite wet as well, which will obviously be a leveler. Are you a little bit worried about that?
Look, as I speak to you now, there's been intermittent showers this morning. I mean, the Bucks are literally just stepping out now for their vision access session now, the 15-minute vision session, and the crowd is pretty crazy. So they will most probably, if it rains, they'll be prepared for that. But also the Springboks have a team that is equipped for pretty much all conditions, for all game plans. If the Bucks need to slow game down, Marley Leebok has a kicking game to do that. Andre Pollard has a kicking game to do that. Damien Williams has the game to do that. So the Bucks are pretty much well-stocked in terms of how they want to manage the game, in particular how they want to manage their conditions and play to the conditions. I mean, the Bucks have shown over the years that what they want to do or want to do very well is to make sure that they play what's in front of them, play the conditions, play the team that's in front of them. So I don't think the Bucks will be too close with their drains or not. They've got the forwards, they've got the backs, they've got the game plan, they've got the goods to make all sorts of conditions work for them.
Yeah, certainly. I think they're very much an adaptable team. And I think a shrewd coaching staff. Thank you very much for joining us, Kanyisha. I think we're going to let you go now. You've got a Springbok pressure to attend. And it certainly is going to be two enthralling encounters this weekend. From a neutral perspective, and I guess from a South African perspective, we're all hoping for the dream New Zealand Springbok final. I think that would, whoever wins that would rightly be, can rightly claim that they are world champions. But stay tuned to News 24 over the weekend. We're going to cover, we've got all the action covered for you, and we'll be back tomorrow with a special edition of the Inside Pass as well, where our rugby guru Rob Howing is also going to make a guest cameo appearance. So stay tuned for that tomorrow and enjoy the rugby. We'll be right back.